I would like to ask you this morning to turn to the book of Romans, chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and our focus today will be on verses 26 and 27. Throughout much of chapter 8 of Romans, Paul has been showing us the ministry of the Holy Spirit. In fact, I would say the first half of Romans 8, that is the primary theme. The Holy Spirit, how that now, as children of God, we are no longer in the flesh, but now we are in the Spirit. And so Paul has been explaining various ministries that the Holy Spirit has in our lives as Christians. At the beginning, he regenerates us. He causes us to be born again and become children of God. He moves us from the realm of the flesh into the realm of the Spirit. He comes and he indwells us, helping us to walk in the ways of the Spirit. Paul said that it is by the Spirit that we are adopted into the family of God, and it's by the Spirit that we cry out to God, Abba, Father. Paul said that the Holy Spirit is the first fruits, or the pledge that God has given to us as a guarantee of our future hope, our future resurrection. And so all of these blessings come to us through the Holy Spirit. And now in verses 26 and 27, he's going to explain another ministry that the Holy Spirit has in our lives. And it's as a helper, as an advocate, as an intercessor for us before God in prayer. Paul says in Romans 8, verse 26, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you and praise you because you have given us your living Spirit, the Spirit who causes us to become alive in you, the Spirit who opens our eyes to see the beauty of Jesus Christ in the gospel, the Spirit who helps us to walk in the ways of Christ and produces the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. We thank you for the Spirit who adopts us into your family. We thank you for the Spirit who helps us in our walk in this difficult world, who intercedes for us before your throne when we come to you in prayer. We thank you for our advocate. We thank you for this precious ministry that you have given to us, this abiding, indwelling ministry of your Holy Spirit. Lord, may we worship you today. Worship you, your Son, your Spirit. And we pray that you would be exalted today as we learn more of your truth. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the things that we need to address at the beginning, I think, is how Paul connects what he's saying here to what he's been saying earlier in Romans chapter 8. And I think that's important because the verse begins with in the same way or likewise. So he's intentionally linking what he is about to say about the Holy Spirit with what he has just been saying. There's a couple of different views as to how that link occurs. One view is that Paul is kind of going back to where he was earlier in the chapter, showing another ministry of the Holy Spirit. And I think that's definitely true. But I think Paul probably is linking to something a little bit even closer than that. And that is in the previous paragraph where he was talking about our future hope that helps propel us toward the future, even in the midst of our sufferings and our difficulties. And so if you go back to verse 18, Paul said that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. And so we have current sufferings. We have difficulties. And those sufferings are not just confined to the sufferings of persecution for the sake of Christ. Those sufferings really encompass all of the difficulties that we go through in this sin-cursed world. And Paul says that whatever we're going through now, whether it be enduring shame and persecution for the name of Christ, or whether it be going through a hard illness or the loss of a loved one to death, whatever it is that we're going through, nothing can compare with the future glory that we have in Christ. And basically the whole idea of that paragraph is that we have a future hope to look forward to. And it's that future hope that helps us endure, helps us persevere in the here and now, in the midst of those difficulties and sufferings. In fact, he ended the paragraph in verse 25 by saying, if we hope for what we do not yet have, then we wait for it patiently or enduringly, perseveringly. And so he's talking about future hope enduring in the midst of suffering. And then he says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. And so I see a link between sufferings and the weakness that Paul is describing in verse 26. And so the Spirit, one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit is he helps us when we are weak. The Holy Spirit helps us when we are weak. What does it mean to be in weakness? Well, it could imply, and oftentimes this word is used in context of physical illness. It's often used this way in the Gospels when Jesus in his ministry encounters people who are going through illnesses, difficult times. This same Greek word is used in those instances of talking about a physical illness. Sometimes, though, it can just mean a physical limitation. Maybe something that we are limited because of our strength or limited maybe even because of our humanity. I think when Paul here talks about our weakness, he's not necessarily pointing to any specific illness or specific suffering. I think he's referring to in the broad scope of our current life in a sin-cursed world. So right now, as he's been talking about in the last few verses, he was talking about the fact that even all of creation right now is suffering under this weight of frustration, this curse that has been on the whole created realm since Genesis 3, when God said to Adam, by the sweat of your brow, you're going to work, and the ground is going to produce thorns and thistles. So since that time, all the way till now, creation has been in this state of frustration, the state of a longing for its future redemption. And so right now we are partaking in that. Even though we have been redeemed as children of God and we belong to God and we have the indwelling Spirit, we still live in this world that suffers under the weight of that frustration, don't we? He's already said in this passage that our bodies are weak, our bodies are frail, and our bodies will die, but we have a future resurrection to look forward to. So right now, we are in a state of weakness. And that includes all of us. Now, that state of weakness ebbs and flows, doesn't it? There are times when we feel more weak than other times. But Paul characterizes our whole experience during this life in this sin-cursed world as a state of weakness. And he also reminds us that the Spirit is with us to help us during this time. So one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit is to help us bridge the gap, if you will, between our current sufferings and our future glory. In other words, I think it's the Spirit who helps us do what verse 25 mentioned. And that is, in hope, we don't have it now, we can't see it yet, but in hope, we wait for it patiently, enduringly. How do we do that? I think the Holy Spirit helps us do that. So the Holy Spirit helps us to endure in faith, waiting for that future day. That future day that Paul talked about, when all of creation is going to be renewed, when God's children will receive their final redemption, the redemption of their bodies, and they will be transformed into the glorious, resurrected, incorruptible bodies that God has prepared for us. Interestingly enough, Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 uses this word weakness that I think maybe is used in the same way that he's thinking of it here in Romans 8. Listen to what he says over in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, "So it will be with the resurrection of the dead. the body that is sown is perishable, but it is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. There's that word. It is sown in weakness, but it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. What is Paul saying in 1 Corinthians 15? Right now, we're in a state of weakness. We're in a state of a body that is corruptible. We're in a state of a body that fades away and dies. But one day, we will be raised to glory in a body that is no longer weak, but is raised in power. In a body that is no longer corruptible, but is incorruptible, imperishable. Transformed to become a resurrected body after the likeness of Christ, who is the first fruits of our resurrection. And so we are right now in a state of weakness, but we will be raised in the future in power when we are glorified. And the Holy Spirit helps us right now in that state of weakness while we wait for that future glorification. He helps us endure. One commentator says this, that the Spirit sustains our hope while believers await redemption. The Spirit sustains our hope while we wait for our redemption. And so the Spirit comes alongside of us and he helps us. The idea of help there is the idea of two people coming together to lift a burden because it's too much for one person to handle alone. It's the idea of one person struggling under a weight and someone else comes alongside and says, here, let me carry half of that for you. Let me help you. Let's work together in this carrying of this burden. And so the Holy Spirit comes along and he helps us. He gives us grace. He gives us strength. He gives us endurance as we wait for our future hope. That's a great ministry of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? That we're not left alone, but we have the abiding Holy Spirit to help us. So the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. Secondly, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us when we don't know what to pray for. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us when we don't know what to pray for. Have you ever faced a difficulty, faced a challenge, a weakness, an illness, a tragedy, and you weren't sure exactly how to pray? You weren't sure exactly what to ask God for. How do I pray in this situation? There's confusion there sometimes. There's lack of understanding. There's lack of perspective. We are limited, aren't we? We have a limited horizon, and we can't see everything perfectly. And so there are times when we don't know exactly what to pray for. Because God desires for us to pray in accordance with his will, doesn't he? But we don't always know what that will is. So there are times when we don't know exactly what to pray for. In the hardships that we face in this world, we often don't know what petitions to bring to God. And so what Paul is saying here is not that we don't know how to pray, but that we don't know what to pray for. We don't know what petitions, what requests to bring to God. Paul has in mind here our inability to discern clearly God's will in the many things that we pray for. Have you ever asked God for something and you received the opposite? You ever asked God for something and you received the opposite and you wonder, is God listening? Did God hear my prayer? But has it ever occurred to us that maybe we prayed for the wrong thing? And that maybe our prayer, our request, wasn't in line with the will of God. But God gave us what his will was instead of what we asked for. We have several examples in the Bible where people of faith did not receive what they asked God for because it wasn't in the will of God and wasn't in their best interests in the long run. One example is Moses in the Old Testament. God had told Moses, because you disobeyed me and because you struck the rock when I told you to speak to it, you're not going to go into the promised land. Well, we find in Deuteronomy a place where Moses is diligently interceding before God, praying before God that God would allow him to cross over Jordan and see the land. And God says, don't ask me about this anymore. You're not going over. Basically, God tells him, stop praying for this because that's not my will. You're not going over. It's already been decided. Or how about Paul when he prays that God would remove this thorn in his flesh from him? Paul says, three times I prayed that God would remove this thorn in the flesh from me. And we don't know exactly what it was. Maybe a physical infirmity, some other thing that was bearing down hard on Paul. Whatever it was, he prayed that God would remove it from him. And what did God say? No. I'm not going to remove it from you. In essence, stop praying about this. But the message came back to him, my grace is sufficient for you in your weakness. My grace is sufficient for you in your weakness. So Paul prayed for something. He didn't receive it because it wasn't God's will for him. Or how about the Lord Jesus himself in the Garden of Gethsemane, in great anguish, in sweat, in tears, he prays, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. That was his request. What's the cup? The cup of God's wrath, the full weight of God's wrath on sin laid on the shoulders of Christ. And Christ says, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But then he couches it, as we all should in prayer. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will be done. And we all know what the answer was, don't we? The answer was Christ did bear the cup of God's wrath for us. And because of that, we are saved. Jesus knew what the will of God was in that instance, but he was suffering under the weight of bearing it. And that's why he prayed, Lord, not what I will, but what you will. But there are times when we don't even have that knowledge. We don't even know what the will of God is. And there are things that we pray for that from our perspective seem, this is the best way to pray. This is the request that I think that God should answer. But we have a limited horizon. God has an infinite horizon, doesn't he? God has an infinite horizon. He knows the end from the beginning, and he knows how all the parts fit together. And God can know whether that request that we're praying is actually in our best interest or not. And so we might pray for God to heal us physically. And God might say, no, I'm going to let that thorn in your flesh stay there, because I'm going to give you my strength instead. From our perspective, sometimes that seems like a not an answer to prayer. But from God's perspective, it is an answer to prayer. He's saying, I know what you need, not just need for the here and now, because our timeline is very short, isn't it? So we're interested in the here and now, but God is interested in eternity. And so he'll say to us at times, I'm not going to give you this right now because you might think it's good for you, but it's only going to give you this momentary relief in the here and now. I'm thinking about eternity. And I'm thinking about what you need for eternity and for the good of your soul. So there are times when we don't receive what we ask for. There are times when we don't even know how to pray. So what happens? The Spirit prays for us. The Spirit intercedes for us. We don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us. That is, stands as the go-between, stands as the mediator between us and God. And he goes and he stands before God for us, and he communicates to God on our behalf. He acts as our messenger, if you will. And he goes and he takes our prayers to God and intercedes for us. And the verse says that he does this through wordless groans, words that cannot be uttered. What does this mean? Well, the word wordless literally means that. It's something that is not spoken, something that is not verbalized. And so the idea is something of a sigh or a groan, a sound that is not necessarily given clear wording, or not even necessarily something that is verbalized audibly that can be heard. A sigh or a groan. And then the question then becomes, whose is it? Whose groan is this? And there's a wide variety of discussion and opinion about that. Some would say that it's our groaning that the Spirit takes and interprets and takes it to God. Others would say the Holy Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans, that this is the Spirit's groans, who does not speak, and we can't hear him speak because they're wordless. For example, one commentator says it's preferable to understand these groans as the Spirit's own language of prayer, a ministry of intercession that takes place in our hearts in a manner that is imperceptible to us. But others would take it as this is our groaning that the Spirit takes and translates before God. It's hard to know for sure whether these are our groans or the Spirit's groans. But one thing is clear, and that is that the Spirit is helping us in our prayers. He is helping us in our prayers, and he is interceding before God when we don't know exactly what to pray for. How does he do this? In what capacity does he do this? How is he able to do this? I think the third thing that Paul reveals to us is that the Holy Spirit prays for us in accordance with God's will. So he intercedes for us when we don't know what to pray, and he does it in such a way for us because he knows the will of God. He knows God's will. Paul says in verse 27, "And he who searches our hearts," who's that? It's God. Traditionally in the Old Testament, when you see that phrase, the one who searches the hearts, it's God. The one who searches our hearts, God, he knows the mind of the Spirit. So God the Father knows our hearts, and he knows the mind of the Spirit. That seems very clear, right? God the Father and God the Spirit, their minds are in harmony, and they're fully aware of the mind of each other because they're in harmony. They're in unison. So God knows our hearts. He also knows the mind of the Spirit because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. This is what causes me to lean in the direction that the groanings, the sighs, are actually the Spirit's, that it is the Spirit speaking, it is the Spirit communicating, and God the Father knows the mind of the Spirit. God knows the mind of the Spirit. He understands what the Spirit is saying, even if we can't, and God and the Spirit are in harmony. And so it's almost as if the Spirit is taking our prayers that are limited and imperfect and not always in line with God's will, and the Spirit is taking those prayers, and then in a way that we can't perceive, in a way that we can't hear, the Holy Spirit is taking those prayers and communicating them to God in a way that is in tune with the will of God. So that when we don't even know what to pray for, the Spirit does. And the Spirit takes our prayers to God and says, here's really what this person needs. He's praying this, but that's because of his lack of understanding. That's because of his limited perspective. Here is what this child of God really needs in accordance with your will. No one knows us better than God the Father. And no one knows God the Holy Spirit better than God the Father. And so the Spirit is the best and most knowledgeable intercessor for us because he understands our needs and our desires, and he also knows perfectly the will of God. That's a perfect intercessor, isn't it? The Holy Spirit indwells us. He knows us perfectly. And he also, because he is God, knows the will of God perfectly. And so he's able to bring those two together as a mediator would. He intercedes for us. And so this indwelling ministry of the Holy Spirit, this intercession takes place because he knows and acknowledges and responds, God does, responds to these intentions of the Spirit that are expressed in his prayers on our behalf. God hears us. So he can take our prayers and our petitions and bring them before the Father, transforming them into prayers that are in conformity with God's will and purposes. What are some applications from what Paul is saying here? One of the applications that I think is really helpful and important to us is that we are not alone in our weakness. We're not alone in our times of suffering. God is not only all around us, ever present, but he is in a very special sense within us, inside of us, through his Spirit. So we are not alone. The Holy Spirit helps us to endure and to persevere in hope for our future glory, even when the difficulties of this life are hard and intense. The Holy Spirit helps us press forward in hope. Another application of this is that we have an advocate in prayer. We have an advocate in prayer. But the implication is that to fully avail ourselves of this ministry of the Holy Spirit, we have to pray. Right? We have to pray. So the way Paul explains this is the Holy Spirit is our intercessor. He is our mediator. He takes our prayers before God, but he has to take our prayers. We need to be praying and asking God. Yes, seeking to the best that we know how to pray in line with God's will, but we don't need to be overly burdened and weighed down by that, whether we know God's will perfectly or not, because the Spirit takes it to God, who knows the will of God. So we have to be praying. We don't have to be overly anxious about whether we're asking God for the right things or not, or praying the right words to God. We don't have to fear that because we have the Spirit interceding for us. We just pray the best way that we know how. And so God has not left us alone. He has given us his indwelling Spirit to help us and to pray for us in our sufferings, in our weakness, in our limitations. That's a great hope for Christians, isn't it? Here's the thing. We may not always perceive it. We may not always feel that presence of the Spirit in our hearts. But he's there. He's there. Because the ministry of the Spirit is an abiding one, isn't it? The new covenant ministry of the Holy Spirit is an indwelling that never leaves us as children of God. Never leaves us. He comes and he indwells us and he stays with us to the very end when we are raised to glory. He's an abiding presence in our lives. And we may not always feel it, but he is there. And that's when we need to be reminded of the truth that God has spoken. Not all things that God does for us are perceivable by us in our experience. There are many, many things that God is doing for us that we're not even perceiving at the moment. But that doesn't make it any less true or any less real. The Spirit is there and he's interceding for us. And so be comforted by the presence of the Spirit in your life. Know that you have a helper who is with you in your weakness and your sufferings in this current world. And also know that when you go to God in prayer and you're seeking the will of God and you're asking God to do for you what his will desires, know that you have an advocate before the Father who is praying for you. We have two intercessors, really, if you think about it. We have an intercessor in heaven at the right hand of the throne of God who is taking all of our prayers, who is taking everything that we say before God, and Jesus the Son is saying, This is a child of God because I laid down my life for him. My life's blood is in the place of this child of God, and he is interceding for us before the throne of the Father. But we also have an internal intercessor. We have Jesus at the right hand of God, but we also have an intercessor inside of us, the Holy Spirit, who takes our prayers and takes them to God and prays for us in conformity to the will and purpose of God. So we're not alone. We have the Spirit who helps us and prays for us. Let's bow together. Father, I thank you. I praise you because you're a God who is the God of salvation, the God of redemption, the God of grace. I thank you, Lord, that even though you have not yet taken us up to glory, you have not yet glorified us and taken us to our eternal home, that right now, in this time, you have left us with the first fruits of that inheritance, the first fruits of that future glory, which is the Holy Spirit that you've given to us to live inside of us. We thank you that his ministry in our lives is active. It's abiding, it's permanent. And he is always with us, and he is always interceding for us before your throne. Thank you, Lord, that we have a help in this time of weakness and time of difficulty. When we walk through the challenges of life, it's a comfort to know that we have the Spirit walking with us. When we come before you in prayer, it's a comfort to know that the Holy Spirit is praying for us and interceding for us. Lord, I pray that you would help us to avail ourselves of prayer. Help us to not shy away from prayer at those times when we don't know what to pray for, those times of uncertainty, those times of discouragement, or those times of doubt. Lord, may we avail ourselves of prayer, even if all we do is groan and sigh, because the Spirit takes our longings, our requests, and he takes them before your throne. Thank you, Lord, for your Spirit. Thank you that we can come before you in prayer through the work of your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.